Hello, my name is Thomas Davis. I'm an occasional preacher at St Paul's Knock in the parish of Knock with Burr Heath. May the words I speak and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit be acceptable in your sight, our Saviour and Redeemer. Today we reflect on Palm Sunday. Hosanna in the highest. This is the time of the coronavirus. Our lives have been engulfed by fear and by worry. Our lives have been turned upside down. With all these concerns, is our world ready to receive our Lord? More than 2,000 years ago, Zechariah had foretold his coming. So why didn't the whole Jewish nation embrace the good news? The book of Zechariah is part of the Hebrew Bible, the canonical collection of Hebrew scriptures, including the Torah. Zechariah was the 11th of 12 minor prophets. He was a prophet of the kingdom of Judah, and like the prophet Ezekiel, was of priestly extraction. This passage was so well known to the Jewish nation. Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And it started so well. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven! What could possibly go wrong? Surely after the exodus from Egypt, the persecution, now at last there was light at the end of the tunnel. All their dreams as a nation were coming to fruition. See, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Had people misread the book of Zechariah? Chapter 9, verse 10, for example. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. Had they expected this king to be a warrior? Probably, yes. But instead he spoke of love. Love thy neighbour, forgive thy neighbour, turn the other cheek, peace, tolerance. How in the world was this king going to defeat Caesar and the Romans and send them packing with their tails between their legs out of Jerusalem? Did the powerhouse in Jerusalem want a like-minded king who would provide power and wealth for the Jewish rulers? His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. No more paying taxes to Caesar. A king that could generate wealth and would support the high priest and a small elite is as in our world today. The 5% who would control 95% of the wealth. No, this king sought no earthly possessions, no trappings of power. He had not come to fraternize with the rich and famous, but to protect the weak, the vulnerable, the poor. I think they may have missed the verse from Zechariah. He will proclaim peace to the nations. Ostentation, wealth, power, slaves, servants, the trappings of office for the king of the Jews, all for the taking, shattered, as Mark 9 verse 35 recalls, anyone who wants to be first must be very last and the servant of all. So why didn't they get it? Their vision of an all-powerful conquering warrior king sent to protect their interest and their wealth, were shattered by this man riding on the back of a donkey, who would question and challenge the hypocrisy of the scribes and the Pharisees. Scribes had knowledge of the law and could draft legal documentation. Pharisees were members of the party that believed in resurrection and in following legal tradition that were ascribed not to the Bible, but to the traditions of the fathers, like the scribes. They were also well-known legal experts. These men were knowledgeable about Jewish law and traditions and would have scrutinized Jesus carefully. Both scribes and Pharisees challenged his behavior and teaching, as the gospel teaches us. Jerusalem at Passover was dangerous. It was well known to both Caiaphas, who governed the city, and Pilate, the prefect to whom the high priest were responsible, that the festivals were likely times of uprisings. When Jesus entered that part of the temple precincts where the worshipper exchanged coins to pay their annual temple tax of 2 drachmas, or bought pigeons to sacrifice for inadvertent transgressions of the law, and as purificatory offerings after childbirth, he turned over some of the tables which led the chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people to plan to have him executed. They took Jesus to Caiaphas, who had gathered some of his counselors, called collectively the Sanhedrin. Jesus was first accused of threatening to destroy the temple, but this charge was not substantiated. When that failed, Caiaphas simply declared whatever Jesus said and had been said by others, that Jesus is the Messiah and Son of God, to be blasphemy. This may be what convinced the council to recommend Jesus' execution. It happened, however, that the charges against Jesus that Caiaphas transmitted to Pilate may have included the accusation that Jesus claimed to be King of the Jews. Although Pilate did not care about the finger-pointing of Jewish law or Jesus' alleged blasphemy, he most likely saw Jesus as a potential troublemaker, and therefore ordered his execution. Who was there to defend Jesus? The rich, the powerful, the movers and shakers of Jerusalem? Surely, collectively, they could have had some influence over Caiaphas, Pilate, and the Sanhedrin. Jesus didn't move in their circles. He was a threat. His ultimate love to all, his dislike of greed, his will to be a servant, not to be served, did not appeal to them. He appealed to the poor, to the prostitutes, to the hungry, to the dispossessed, and to the outcasts. These were not the movers and shakers of Jerusalem. How can the unseen defend Jesus? What influence could they command against the most powerful in Jerusalem? They were defended by our Father God, who gave his only beloved Son to die for us on the cross. Today, a virus has engulfed our world. This affects the rich, the powerful, the movers and shakers, the poor, the prostitutes, the hungry, the dispossessed, the homeless. Our Prime Minister is as vulnerable as any homeless person. Today, the doors of our churches at St. Paul's and St. Mary's are locked. Today, the world is frightened. People are anxious. People are scared. In this time of crisis, if we can push back the cloak of doom and gloom, we should thank God for the blessings that he has bestowed on us daily, the good that permeates throughout the world. Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. The doctors and nurses and the health workers who selflessly and often ill-equipped and even overwhelmed look after the sick. The 24,000 retired doctors and nurses returning to help. The 750,000 volunteers who have stepped up their to help their neighbors, whoever they may be. The individuals and the organizations who have opened their hearts to support their neighbors or colleagues to work together to help others. Our churches are locked, but our church in Nork and Burheath is open for business as usual, caring for all with love, concern, and practical help for all our parishioners, not just looking out for our Christian families, but for everyone in our parish, all our neighbours within our parish. Laura Kelly Fanucci wrote the following: "When this is over, may we never again take for granted a handshake with a stranger, full shelves at the store, conversations with neighbours, a crowded theatre, Friday night out, the taste of communion, a routine check-up, the school rush each morning, coffee with a friend, the stadium roaring, each deep breath, a boring Tuesday, life itself. When this ends, may we find that we have become more like the people we wanted to be, we were called to be, and we hope to be, and may we stay that way, better for each other, because of the worst." As Christians, I think we should extend this. The experience of fear, being scared, having our lives turned upside down, lives almost unrecognizable. Have we just seen doom and gloom? Or have we seen the daily miracles of acts of selfless love and kindness? Today, 2,000 years on, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. When we fall, he picks us up. When we're at our wit's end, he shows us the way. When we are frightened and feel lonely, he befriends us. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Are we ready to receive him? Are we ready to listen this time? Now, more than ever, the answer is yes. Amen. Please keep safe and keep well.